You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for The Walking Dead. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip about The Walking Dead. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for The Walking Dead.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's another podcast of Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 8, entitled Nebraska. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm
You got to be more enthusiastic. Hey, come on. We're back from 2 months.
Wait a minute. I got to. I'm setting the stage. I'm giving the context. Then we'll go crazy. I'm joined in the studio by Phil Svitek.
Woo!
There you go. Ben Bottomley.
Yes.
And, of course...
do we have Ben's mic on?
Yes. Nope. Yeah, Ronnie. If you get it. Ronnie's in the booth for us tonight. So, hey, how you doing, Ronnie?
Give me a test. His mic is definitely working.
Channel 1?
You sure?
All right, let's set that up. Go ahead and give me a test.
Hello.
There you go.
So, Ben Bottomley, say hello to everybody out there.
Yes. Well, Ben never says anything, that's why we were playing a joke on that.
We weren't sure if the mic was on or off. We couldn't tell, because it could have been... on, and he just didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So, yes, we're finally back after a couple of months of Walking Dead comes back with a bang, especially at the end of the show, so that's nice. So, good to see everybody back. They finally, as you know, found Sophia in the barn, and that's we start off right where we left off back a couple of months ago. So, it was nice to see that again, the carnage that started at the barn. And I got to say, we had a nice zombie kill pretty much right off the bat.
Yeah, it was very good with the scythe.
Yes, it was good. And Andrea, boy, I didn't know she is no longer squeamish.
Nope.
No longer squeamish about, you know, dealing with the walkers for sure. So that was nice. We got to see her later on in the episode even, I don't know, what did we say? Pick up after the truck when the arm fell off. She's even picking up after walkers. It's
which
nice
I thought,
see.
I mean, just that thing in itself, I thought... was going to be a little made out to be something more, you know,
right.
What I mean, where it's like it being disrespectful because she did pick it up pretty disrespectfully,
yeah.
And just tossed it back on,
yeah.
You know, especially with what happened, you'd think like, oh, and maybe someone would have saw
then,
that and gotten a little more angry,
yeah,
like you're disrespecting.
And then later
that.
When we saw that Shane they were putting the bodies in the pile before they burned them was somewhat more respectful than the throwing of the arm into the truck. Which, first of all, I didn't know Walker's arms just fell off. Did anybody see how that happened?
No, it happens all the time, obviously.
Well, because it was hanging off the truck.
Yeah.
For those of you watching, you guys can see this. So it was kind of hanging off the truck. And then, you know, obviously they were speeding off. And then just...
But, I mean...
There's not a lot of, limbs there?
If you had your arm hanging out of a moving vehicle, I don't think it would just fall off.
Yeah. Something must have happened. Maybe we just didn't see that part of it, or they edited it out, or... it just fell off.
It just happened. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, not to interrupt you. I do want to.
You will.
I will. To tease it for all the fans. This week we've got some great news and gossip. But in the coming, so we won't do what I'm about to propose this week. But next week we have a great book. It's about the making of season one and the adaptation of the comic book to the series and. I don't know how big this book is, like, in terms of not big as in, like, thickness,
length,
but big
reception-wise. Yeah.
Because, ironically, I found it in an airport in, like, the most unknown section, you know? And I've been kind of looking for stuff like that, so we'll definitely bring that to the table next week in our special segment.
For true fans, it's a great compendium to add to all the other DVDs that you might get and the
exactly.
So a lot of fallout from the barn incident. We saw, obviously, the Shane saying that, you know, it had to be done and I'm the only one that could have done it. Rick, of course, saying you shouldn't have done it that way because it's Herschel's people, and he's put us, you know, he put us up here at his house. I mean, and then of course Dale thinking that Shane is reckless and dangerous, and even going so far, and as we'll talk more in detail later, telling Laurie that he thinks he killed Otis, and even that Shane said so much to him as well. So a lot of craziness about the fallout.
Well, speaking of the fallout, the mother.
Yes, Carol.
No, not Carol.
Oh, the
Herschel's wife.
The dead. Okay, Herschel's
Maggie's
wife. Okay,
the dead one.
Are we, in terms of that storyline, with now Maggie's sister, you know, sort of in this...
state of shock.
Is that going to kind of lead more?
Or what's that?
Is there going to be a bigger storyline with that? Just curious.
Well, who's to
know? We got that right off the bat.
What I thought they did, I don't know if they're going to have a bigger story than that, because I don't know where you're going to go with it. Obviously, it's mm-hmm. going to, they're just now mourning their mother's passing.
So is that more about Herschel?
Versus... Well, I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, that's what they made it about, because in the bar, as we'll talk, he was saying that I robbed my daughter of mourning her mother.
Mm-hmm.
I took that away from him. That's why he's in the bar drinking and all that other stuff. So they really made it about him.
Yeah.
I think, of course, but you know, they had her going into some weird shock. We'll have to see how that pans out. But who knows? I mean, I have a hard time thinking that they hadn't already figured that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, based on everything else they know about the Walkers,
agree.
So, anyway, talking about Shane. So, I still think from the last season, well, not last season, but the mid-season finale, if I can use that term, when mm-hmm. they actually Sophia came out of the barn, and I wanted Shane to go and try to shoot her, but couldn't, and that didn't happen. Rick just went up and took care of business, but Rick is kind of going around like saying, "Look, I had to be done. I had to do it." Da, da, da. But he's not even the one that shot Sophia, so. It's like, what's he all? Why is he getting all high and mighty about this having to be done? It didn't have to be done. They could have just kept the barn door closed.
You mean Shane, right?
Yeah. What I beg your pardon?
You said Rick. Okay, Shane. Yes.
Yeah, Shane's going crazy about saying it had to be done. And it's almost like when he was talking to Carol about it, and he was saying, "Look, I didn't know she was in there. I didn't know she was in there." It was almost like he was looking for some forgiveness or absolution or something like that. I mean, did you experience it that way? Did you think that?
I did. And what was interesting was that Carol was trying to be nice.
Right.
But I don't think she didn't know what to make of it. She didn't know whether to buy it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously they interact off screen, you know, but I think this was like the first kind of true one-on-one talk that Carol and Shane have ever had.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting.
And she's kind of confused by it.
Right, and it was great because, you know, he's over there by the pump, and then he hears her in the forest, and she's walking out of the woods with some sort of catatonic state almost, and he takes care of her wounds. I thought that was really interesting. It was kind of like they were trying to show a better side of him, a lighter side of him, or more caring, nurturing side of him. I was like, why?
Well, you know what's interesting? I mean, if you look at Shane, and if he is really all about saving people who are worth saving, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If Carol knows this in her mind, then she, I would be thinking, oh wow, he actually does care about me, because he's not doing this for Herschel. He doesn't care about anybody else.
Yeah.
He's only protective of the people who he thinks are worthwhile and worth it.
Yeah, there's that. But I didn't really get that. I really got that he was just he some weird way looking for some sort of forgiveness about the fact that her daughter's dead now. And, right. and he thought that he shot her, but he caused it in some fashion because he opened the barn door. But
that's what I gathered,
that's
too.
That's what you gathered?
Yeah, I thought he was looking for some kind of forgiveness and felt bad, and they were trying to show a lighter side to it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They didn't want him to be just such a pain in the...
Well, is this Shane kind of going in his mind, justifying... Because everyone's kind of against them. You know, we know Rick... Dale, who's the wise guy, you know, the wise old man representative.
But then you have Andrea saying, no, I mean, you know, he did the right thing. It had to be done. I mean,
is he trying to do this more by quantity rather than...
I don't know. That's what I'm curious about. I'm not exactly... I don't think he really cared, because they never had a scene with him trying to convince anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he cared what anybody else thought about it. I think he feels like, no, it had to be done, and I did it. And that's pretty much what he's saying, and he thinks he did right, and that's the way it should have been done, so screw the rest of you. Because I'm the only... That's what he says to Dale. Look, what did you do? You did nothing. If I need a radiator hose, I'll come to you. But no, if this needs to be done, I'm the guy that's going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I think he's doing. But they were showing making choices about what if it was right or if it was wrong, and kind of making their decisions and splitting up into slightly opposing camps.
And Laurie actually sided with him.
Yeah. Because it needed to be done. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting when Dale came up and started, he was saying it, when he first started posing the idea that it was reckless and stuff like that, and Laurie said, it's done, it's over, it's no use arguing about it. And I think, no, it is worth arguing about. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's like, you put everybody in jeopardy by doing it, but everybody else is going to argue, but no, he saved us because he got rid of them all.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, so it's...
And the reason why you do argue about that stuff, obviously, reminiscent, you know, this is supposed to be like politics and society, yeah, and a
exactly.
microcosm and all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in order to move forward as like their little group, yeah, you're supposed to talk about these issues because it's going to rise again.
Exactly.
And then how are you going to deal with that?
Exactly. The fact that you don't argue means you don't have a resolution. You don't have a realized way to handle those issues. You have to argue, debate, figure it out, and go, okay, here's what we're going to do as a collective or at least as a group. And if we can all get behind it, then there's consensus and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't argue about it, it's all crazy.
And even at the end of the day, you know, even if, okay, if I know for whatever may come, I know the results of that, then at least in many ways, one of the things that human beings want is at least I know what's going to happen.
Yeah. They need
it's not the unexpected.
Yeah.
So
we all kind of crave that in some fashion, unless you like an anarchy, which some of us do.
Apparently, Lori.
Exactly. Lori. But, so let's move on to the flip side where Rick and Shane have their little confrontation about, and it really is the same. It's a continuation of the argument they had in the other in the previous episode, which is Shane saying, "Look, you can't make the hard choices. I'm the one that does it, and you shouldn't be shouldn't be in charge. I should be." It's what it's coming down to. And I want that argument to either come to a head or move on to something else because do something with it.
Well, I mean, the perfect thing was for Rick to say, you know, really? I just did that. You didn't do that.
Exactly. That's my point, is that you didn't do the hard thing. I did.
Yeah.
So, and for me, the end of the episode clearly shows if Rick needs to, he will.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, moving on from that, then there's the Laurie and Dale sequence when Dale tells Laurie that Shane is not only reckless, he killed Otis, and according to Dale, he pretty much said so.
Mm-hmm.
And Laurie, of course, is in denial. No, he's not that kind of guy. He's not a murderer. And yeah. So, and then there's the question: well, is he a murderer? Or is he not? I mean, did he do it out of to save the kid, or did he do it just to preserve himself?
Yeah.
So we still have that question lingering, and you know, we still get to decide: is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he both?
What was interesting about that scene is, you know, in that moment, if I was just picturing. From Laurie's perspective, if you just hear this, then of course you're like, wait, he wouldn't do that. You know, despite this apocalyptic world, you can't imagine something like that, especially with someone, you know, I mean, in many ways, she is in love with Shane.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to imagine that because, you know, that changes everything for her.
It does. And so it's almost, you know, from her perspective, she's never gone to that level of thinking yet.
Yeah.
You know, that you can possibly kill someone in order to save someone else, you know what I mean?
Right.
But obviously Shane's already made that journey. He's already gone to that level. So it's, you know, if you want to think of it that way, Lori's down here. Exactly. So Shane's already prepared to do measures that Lori, you know, she's like 30 steps behind in terms of...
Yeah.
The things that are needed to be done.
And then, you know, the coupling with that, the idea that her son says, yeah, dad did the right thing. It's what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's worried about, oh, my God, my kid is already turning cold in this world. And it's such a short time that has occurred. And she's worried that, if you look at it, that's who he'd turn into, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why she wanted Rick to make sure that he stuck around and not solve everybody else's problem, but be there for his kid.
Yeah.
So it's shocking to believe that Shane might be a murderer, but she already sees her son going that route or being cold enough to say that, yeah, that's what I would have done.
Which, Ben, would you have done that?
Mm-hmm.
Ben was laughing.
Yeah.
That's true. No. Ben was laughing.
Yeah. Ben has a sick, demented, twisted mind.
Well, I was laughing when the daughter was...
Go ahead, say it. It's macabre. It's yeah. macabre.
Humorous. No, when the mother came back to life and attacked yeah. the younger daughter.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. That was a good... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, wait, I never saw that. Mm-hmm. Did we ever see... I mean, obviously, I guess they didn't hit the walker in the head.
Yeah.
Although, it seemed...
Yeah. You know, this is kind of a side point, but not really. I remembered, you know, in talking about Carl, the whole reason why we're at this farm is because we yeah. saw the doe, right? And remember in the mm-hmm. first episode of season two?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, that represented, like, a glimmer of hope. And all of that.
Sure.
And we had that long, long pause, or at least right. what it seemed like forever. I mean, I'm sure screen-wise, it ended up being like 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, time stood still, music mm-hmm. faded down. And then, obviously, the unthinkable happened where Carl got shot.
Right.
And in many ways, I liken the whole situation with the farm in that way, where something seemed great and nice. Right. But really, in the end... I think by being on this farm, it's the worst possible thing that this right. group can do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that it seems like the farm represents purgatory. They just can't get out.
I think that's a great analogy. Well,
I'm going to follow up with what you said about how the doe represented hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scene, and not the scene, but the show, had a lot of talk about hope, especially between Herschel and Rick.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about how, you know, Rick was saying Herschel said, when I first saw you coming to the farm and carrying your boy, I felt that hope. So it was kind of like we saw that hope in the deer, and then now we saw it here with Herschel saw it in here. But now he doesn't have any hope.
Yeah.
And so, and Rick's saying that I don't get that Rick really has hope. But what I get from Rick is that he's saying it doesn't matter what I think, because he says it's not about us anymore. It's about what they think. It's about them. So even if we have to fake hope, we got to make sure that there's something there to get them up, to get them moving to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the problems, not like show wise, but just with these characters, is that, you know, I think they think too much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, just. Go and do something. Like at this point, like you know, you want to talk about the grand scheme of life and what is there to do? Just do something.
Yeah.
And if you live long enough, fine.
Okay.
Sorry to go so deep.
No, that's fine. All right, that's good.
No, you know, I don't want to get preaching too philosophy, into philosophy and all that.
Right.
But you know what I mean? I think that's their problem. They're spending too much time thinking and things like that. And that was
so you think they'd be better off, rather than be in their heads about stuff, to be actually in motion and actively participating in something?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
And again, I thought, you know, from reading tonight's episode titled before seeing the show, Nebraska, I was like, okay, they're at least going to have this goal that they're going to do something. They're going to go off to Nebraska.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's what we thought. And it's interesting they bring that up, because they talked about Fort Benning and you know, the whole thing about hope and the new guys, which we'll talk about later. We're talking about everywhere they go, there's some sort of mm-hmm. urban legend about the next thing, the safe mm-hmm. harbor, the whatever it is, and it never pans out. So
yeah.
Even Nebraska is some sort of
yeah
fool's mission.
Mm-hmm.
So and then they get the sad news that Fort Benning is really nothing either. It's gone.
Am I the only one who didn't know that they were going to Fort Benning?
Well, that they wanted.
He could have just said that. I've never really heard them say that. Maybe they did, but I don't recall that.
That was the kind of their thought.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That okay. makes sense. So
I should pay attention.
Yeah.
Ben, you read the comic books.
Yep.
All right. Now, quickly, speaking more to the fallout again, we have to talk about Carol a little bit. Clearly distraught over losing her child, even though, as you rightly pointed out, was it episode 5 this year?
I think it was episode 4 or 5. It was 4, because we're looking at the Cherokee Rose, right?
Uh-huh.
That was the title of the episode. And, you know, we were kind of watching it. Carol had already given up hope.
Right. Again,
you know what I mean?
Hope thing going on.
And the reason I bring that up, she was talking about, you know, that's not my girl. That's a thing. I think she said a thing or a monster. One of the, I'm pretty sure it was thing. And, you know, so when you look back on it, she had already given up hope in episode 4 And then it was Daryl who brought that hope back with her, with the whole Cherokee Rose, the Cherokee Rose being the flowers, and we see that come back today as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, so she's obviously stricken, and we see her out the woods somewhere, and she sees the Cherokee Rose, and of course
destroys it. Speaking again to the loss of hope.
Yes. So God, it's such a desolate.
Which, by the way, man. All these characters are going to the pit of hopelessness and whatever. Are we basically story-wise trying to destroy, and I'm asking John this because he is a screenwriter / script doctor, are we trying to get these guys and destroy all things within them so that, like a phoenix, they can come out of the ashes and be reborn into having hope?
Well, you know, that's the thing. You got to take the long view on these things because you can't have them have too much hope too quickly because then you got no show.
Yeah.
So... But you just want just enough hope to keep them going.
Yeah.
So.
I'd like to see the show where they lose hope completely and just sit around doing nothing.
Then we'd be watching Walkers. There's no point to anything, so you like that. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Oh, okay. Now, the second part of the Carol thing is that, so she's obviously just completely distraught about the whole thing and tears up the Cherokee Rose, et cetera, and loses hope. And then she has a scene. No, I'm sorry. She doesn't have the scene. But when we see Daryl, the flip side of that, the guy who instilled hope in her to say, look, we're going to find her, all that kind of stuff, and this, how this affects him. And when Lori approaches him to, you know, to take her, to go to town to find her, so he's like, well, he flies off the handle and goes crazy. So the way he deals with it, instead of tearing up a Cherokee Rose, he lays into Lori. So,
well, I think it's the notion of, you know, with Daryl, I'm willing to put my life out on the line for any of you guys, but it has to be for the right cause. Like, it has to be warranted.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, him having, as he said, he took an arrow and a bullet.
Right.
Him having taken that, it wasn't warranted at the end of the day.
Right.
You know.
So do you think he's just pissed off that it was fruitless?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, he's very much willing to go into danger, but now he's certainly not going to now because he's been lied to.
Right.
You know?
He's been lied to. Oh, because Herschel and them, he
instilled his trust into these people and you know, their leadership of everything. And he was trying to do a good thing. And then his trust was betrayed because he wasn't given all the information about, you know, all of what was happening.
Okay. Let's go back to that point just a second. But the point I want to make about Daryl is I don't think it was just that. I think he was pissed that she wasn't alive. I think he really wanted to believe that she would make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was so much that he put his trust in these people and they lied to him. It was just he was so pissed because he really wanted her to be alive and she wasn't. And it wasn't about that. It was fruitless, and I didn't, you know, and I took a bullet. I don't think he cared one whit about that. I think he was just, that was his way of dealing with the fact that he was really sad, really pissed off that she didn't survive.
Ben, who do you side with?
I side with both of you.
Thank you, Ben.
I think it was a bit of both.
Very diplomatic of you.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the other point you made, which is that people were lying, do you think they knew, Herschel and his family knew that was Sophia? They knew all the time that she was in the barn. And
no, but regardless, they withheld the lie, or they withhold the truth of the fact that they have walkers to begin with.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Well, you don't know that it's the girl.
Withheld the lie, but what lie? Because nobody went, hey, do you have walkers on the property?
I mean, well, think about it. They know Otis is rounding up people.
Right.
Locally, and... Mm-hmm. He was still doing so at the time she went missing.
Right.
Well,
you would think that they would just say, hey, there's a bunch of people in there.
Why don't you look?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they still viewed them. Herschel still viewed them as people at that point. So
that, and you also, I mean, going back to Herschel's point.
So definitely a lie and a betrayal from Ben.
Sure.
From Herschel regarding Ben. Okay.
Well, it goes back to the point of, you know, Herschel went, you know, was mad at them for taking out the walker in the well, right?
Yeah.
So that was the perfect time to bring up the fact, like, hey, guys, actually, could you not do that? I view them as still human beings. What you guys did was disrespectful.
Well, it is. And that's it would have been, I don't know if it's a perfect time, though, because, first of all,
they
outnumber him. They got guns. And I've just seen you kill not have any regard for a walker, and my wife and my son are in there. I don't know that I want to tell you that my wife and son are in there if that's what you're going to do to them. Well, so, I don't know.
I mean, I think, certainly get why Herschel was the way Herschel was.
I mean, who knows? I mean, if it was my wife, I don't know if I'd be so quick to shoot her. That would be, even if she was a walker.
Yeah.
I'd have somebody else do it.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you'd have Ben do it.
Because you do it with a smile, I think. That's why. I don't know. That would be a tough one. Tough call.
Well, do you want to talk about Herschel?
Yeah, let's move on to Herschel since it's a good time to.
I like how he kind of realizes, like, you guys were right, I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was, I mean, that was pretty much for him, that was the turn of this episode.
Yeah, well,
and he's
as he says, when he saw his wife take a bullet in the chest and then keep going forward, he realized it was all over. And denial's a funny thing. It took that long for him to realize that that's not my wife and she ain't coming back. So, and of course he sees a flask and then he's off to the bar. So, hasn't had a drink since Maggie was
born.
Born or conceived, okay.
One or the other.
Yeah, whatever. So for however many years. So, but you know, so let's go to the bar sequence because that's the whole thing, the crux of his whole storyline with Rick happens there, and a lot of self pity in there. I said, but it all coming up to hit him at once. The whole idea that, oh my God, what have I done? I robbed my daughter of mourning her mother. I was an idiot. I didn't see it, and it took this long, and now all these people saw how stupid I was.
Obviously not a very fun thing.
No. Yeah, you can see why he was enjoying his bottle. So.
But, I mean, obviously it's not easy to admit, but don't you the right thing would be to tell all those people, you know, you have them amassed there.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him a coward because that's who he was. That was the perfect time to... You know, you talk about no one is talking, right? It happened. Let's not talk about it. That was – everyone had already left way too early. That's when he should have stepped up and said something.
Right.
You know, like, hey, guys, I disagree with that you guys shot these people or anything.
Yeah.
You know?
But he still had time for redemption because I kind of like that he didn't say – it would have been so difficult for me to believe that somebody would be able to process all of that in that moment and go, oh, hey, let's have this discussion. Let me tell you. Because all of it, you know, he just wanted to leave. Get out of there. I get that. I mean, I
obviously get that.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, if anything, as hard as it was, even if he said a sentence –
yeah.
You know, it would have been the most powerful sentence he could have ever said to those people.
It would have been amazing. It would have been great.
You know, because that's part of, I mean, part of what all of these problems stem from is that they've never all talked together.
No.
There's never been like a congregation, all right, we're going to have a Monday meeting, 8 o'clock, be there.
No, they never have that.
You know?
But then again, I don't know how good, I mean, that could be great TV because it'd be going, they could go nuts and you get to really have all that heated discussion and argument and all that kind of stuff, but they don't have that kind of stuff.
No, but I mean, maybe it's a pet peeve of mine or something, but like that's, you know, you want to build like a mini society and things like that. What else are you doing?
I know.
Are you guys like one dude's just, you know, carving apples or wood, or whatever. Yeah. Like just have a Monday meeting. That's all.
Yeah. Some sort of game plan. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, obviously.
New rule, Monday meetings, 10 o'clock. That's it.
I mean, I think so. I mean, you know, it's a cliche thing, but like communication is key, and when that dissipates, then you unfortunately get what you have there.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know who's the leader, whether Shane, Rick, whatever, and then everyone's kind of vying for themselves, and then you know you scale that up eventually, and okay, you've got a society, and then it's all in disarray.
Yeah. I hope that's what they're going for.
And then Herschel, in many ways. I forget the full exact. I forget the exact quote, but basically he's talking about how the world's a mess.
Yeah,
and you know, Rick says, you know, we didn't make it that way. We came into it same as you, or something like that.
Well, the part I liked what he was saying, especially, was look, this isn't anything new. Death has always been around us. just, you know, whether from a heart attack or whatever, or from a walker. It's always been there. And I agree with that part of it. It's like, yeah, it comes in a very shocking manifestation, which is walkers and zombies and all that other stuff. But people die every day.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. And it doesn't make any sense.
Which, by the way, I mean, you know what? Broken down at the end of the day. You know, conflict is always going to exist in life.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And this is what I learned from storytelling in general, and why you know you can make any story work.
Yeah,
is because no matter which level you move into, so if there's no external forces like zombies that are going to attack you, me, and Ben. Then we do have to deal with our thoughts, and which is why, in many ways, the show is kind of being so cerebral right now, is because they're, you know, for the most part, there's not that outside of threat of zombies,
right?
So they are kind of stuck in their heads and being like contemplating life and what do we do? But then, you know, if they do have to deal with food and zombies and things like that, then the conflict obviously is the physical world or whatever.
Exactly, it's an external thing rather than an internal thing. Yeah. However, it manifests, it makes good grist for the mill.
So, smart of Rick to realize that.
Yeah. Yes.
Herschel, maybe by 92 years old, he'll realize it.
Okay, real quick, we got to talk Lori in the car.
Yes.
As soon as she gets in the car, she's got the gun. I'm going, that's not a good idea. She shouldn't. No, it's not a good idea.
She was reading her map.
Don't read the map. Hasn't she ever seen a TV show like this? Don't.
I thought, you know, I didn't realize it was going to go that route. Uh-huh. I thought, you know, maybe she was just going to get lost and then, like, you know, can't find her way back or something like that.
Yeah.
And especially with the talk that she had with Rick, like, you know, we can't leave our son alone.
Right.
And then, ironically enough, she'll be the one who's lost and out there. And so that's how I kind of thought it was heading, but clearly not.
So which one do we like better, sight through the head or the car crash?
Sight.
Or the zombie kill? Gotta go with the sight.
Sight.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Because that's more active, you know what I mean?
Clearly.
Whereas the lawyer was like, you know.
Yeah.
But then the flip, very, very intense.
Mm. Yeah, it was.
Mm. Which, by the way, I you know, you told me to bring this up, and we don't have to discuss it too much, but, you know, you made the point of, like, hasn't she seen a movie?
Yeah.
I almost think it would be, you know, it would be a little bit fun if it was kind of more self-referential of,
yeah.
I mean, obviously they exist in what seems like our time and things like that.
Yeah.
Give or take a few years, but you know what I mean. Can't someone say, like, I remember seeing 28 Days Later or something like that, and like,
and how can you not make that reference? I mean, it's so part of our culture that that even in those, well, we were just talking about it, you know, gallows humor. How can you not?
And this is why Shaun of the Dead is the best movie ever.
A plug for Shaun of the Dead.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, we talk about it and, you know, that whether or not we think something's lacking, nothing.
Yeah.
But by having that, it already, it kind of gives you a reference and other stuff to work off of, you know what I mean? And then it elevates the intelligence of the characters you have. They're not dealing with zombies for the first time. Right. No, they already have a frame of reference of, you know what, we think we know what zombies are. Now we have to kind of readjust to what zombies really are.
Exactly, which I think would be fascinating because then you create your own little niche of what it is and stuff like that. I think that would be very interesting.
So that's just wishful thinking.
And and adding to that, what, you know, this show takes itself very earnestly, and I'm just wondering, would you like to see or not like to see any kind of comic relief?
I would like it.
Yeah?
A lot.
You think it would add to the show, or do you think you would do it just because it would be fun for you?
I don't really think it would add much to the show. I think it'd just be fun for me.
No, I think there are ways of adding comedy to even a zombie movie.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't have to be laugh out loud
funny.
No,
I'm not talking about jokes every minute or anything. I'm just saying that I just love it because, you know, I'm waiting for the moment just to relieve some of the anxiety, you know? Yeah. I mean, just to think it would be...
And I hope to clarify to listeners and viewers, you know, we don't mean, like, stuff that the characters would actually laugh at, but it's something that we, as the audience,
as we would find funny. Exactly. I'm not saying that they're telling jokes. I'm
Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad is a perfect example.
Yeah, well, interesting, yes. Good analogy.
I like him.
Which, by the way, you know, speaking of that show, since it is an AMC show, you know, Bryan Cranston, the main actor of that show, has said, like, I hope people understand how funny Breaking Bad is, because we do try to infuse a lot of humor into it.
Yeah, and that's a really dark show, too.
Yeah. So, what is that?
Oh. Spoilers or minus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's wearing the Breaking Bad. Wow, nice.
And Ben is rocking the Breaking Bad shirt for those of you who can't see.
He's giving plugs for everybody today.
Nice. Rock on, AMC.
Okay.
Don't go too far so you can get off.
Dodge Challenger.
All right. I want to talk about the new guys now. So I thought that was a great reveal, by the way. They're in the bar, Herschel with Rick and Glenn.
Which I share Glenn's sentiment. Nice to meet some new guys.
Yeah.
I think timing wise for the show, the writers are smart enough to know, okay, this is the right time to do it.
Yeah. It was great. I just love that. What was the line he said when he walked into the bar? I can't remember at the moment. I wrote it down.
Something about new. Oh. You guys into, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever it was.
I was going to make it up, but
like
I was going to be wrong.
You know, like an old Western, the saloon kicked in and all that kind of stuff. So what do we think of these guys? The guy wearing a shark t-shirt, but, you know.
Because he is a shark.
Exactly. So, you know, so.
I mean, what was interesting about that whole scene was, I mean, basically, I'm going to call him, I do know their names, Dave and Tony. Tony being the fat guy, Dave being.
What did he call him? The svelte guy or something?
What's that?
He called Tony called the skinny guy or something. I can't remember what he called him.
I forget.
Yeah.
But Dave's talking, you know, Dave's kind of the leader of this group, and he's talking with Rick. And in that moment, it seemed, okay, Rick turned into Herschel,
mm-hmm.
and Dave was actually Rick. You know what I mean? Because it's the same type of proposal that Rick's been bringing up with Herschel for the longest time. You should let us stay out on the thing. And Herschel's always been like, no, we don't have room. We don't have room.
Right. We can't. And you got to move. You got to leave. All that kind of stuff. Yeah, now it's time for Rick to do the, quote, Christian thing, as Herschel says. And he says no.
Well, I'm still trying to wonder. I mean, you know, we literally just finished the episode, and so we're digesting it right now with you guys.
Yeah.
But is Rick a hypocrite?
Well, I don't know. I would have had a much more interesting take on it if Tony didn't take a piss in the barn. Because as soon as that happens, you start to go. I mean, it was already tense to begin with, and then you went, okay, that's a difficult thing.
But why discriminate? I mean,
why discriminate? Because he's going to bring him back to where his wife and his kid is. And so,
on everything.
No, but, you know, from what Rick has been preaching, aren't kind of all, as long as they're willing to join you, aren't they worth fighting for and saving? You know what I mean?
Well, like you're saying with Daryl, it has to mean something, I guess. It has to be picking his battles, and this is not one he's going to fight. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's heeding Lori's suggestion. I'm not going to solve everybody's things. No, I'm not going to solve this guy's problem. I'm going to go take care of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you, but at the same time, you know, this is why I think a Monday meeting would be nice. Okay, do we let anyone join the group, or do we let anyone join?
No, I think it's
great. Pre-selective of the people who join based off of X, Y, and Z criteria?
Right. Well, I think it's great that they put him in that position of having to make that decision. And and it wasn't, you know, first of all, I thought it was strange that he was making the decision. It's not even his farm. Herschel had very little to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? All of a sudden, Rick's taking charge here, and it's Herschel's farm? That was a little strange. But I thought it was great that they did it. But I was like, oh, wow. And Herschel didn't seem to was like, okay, go ahead, you take the lead on this. Yeah. Because before that, Herschel said, no, this is my place. You need to leave. Now this guy comes on and Herschel's got nothing to
say. Yeah, well, that just goes to further show that, you know, as Herschel said, you guys were right.
Yeah.
And so he has taken that step back.
Yeah.
And you, meaning Rick, was right.
But what worries me is that, does that mean if Rick's going to take a more, quote, leadership role at the farm, is they going to stay on the farm?
Oh.
Ben, how do you feel about that?
God, no.
Ben, from the comic books, where are we going, though?
From the comics. Spoiler alert. The barn gets overrun when they open up the farm gets overrun when they open up the barn, and then they leave. And they're gone, and then they're on a new adventure.
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you're looking at the previews for next week, clearly Tony and Dave had friends.
Yeah. Well, that may
be the thing that launches them off the farm.
You know what? We kind of predicted this or wanted this. Yeah. We've been teasing for a long time. How do we get them off the farm? And it was like, okay, you have to have a full-fledged walker attack.
Right.
And all right, so we didn't get the walker attack, but now, you know, now we have a war.
People.
Yeah.
You know, so even better.
It's a war against the clans.
So I guess they heard our plea, not our pleas, but, you know, yeah. they outdid me. And what I was thinking should happen. So kudos to that.
So do you think it would have been more interesting if Dave and Tony weren't so, I don't know, skeevy? Because then you have a real quandary. Do I let these people who look normal, because they did a good job of making that scene tense, awkward, uncomfortable. Because if they were nicer guys, or if they were more...
But honestly, what would have made them nicer?
What would have made them nicer? I guess different music, different tone of voice.
Yeah, but that's all... That's
urinating.
But again, the urinating, fine, one thing. And, you know, but at the end, that's just a sign of, like, okay, I don't... You know, it just goes to show his beliefs of the world. Like, okay, it doesn't matter that instead of using the bathroom, I can piss anywhere I want.
Right.
But apart from the music and things like that, like if this was a standalone, you were in that moment. Mm-hmm. Honestly, do you think how much loving could they have been? Like, hey, John, here's a hug. Like, what do you do?
My point is this. It would have been a much harder choice for Rick if these guys weren't as threatening as they presented them to be.
But again, that's what I'm asking. How do you not present yourself as threatening? What could they have done to not be that?
Well, a change in attitude.
Yeah.
Give them a hug? Like, again,
no,
what?
No,
like,
I'm not saying, I think a hug would be disingenuous. But are you saying that they weren't threatening?
I don't think they were as bad as, take away the music, strip down the facade of, of the actual scene. Mm-hmm. And just imagine it as if it was a real thing. You know, there is no artifice right now. Imagine it that way. Were they really that rude and mean?
No, I'm not saying that they were that rude and mean. They were rude enough or threatening enough or whatever enough for Rick to make it easy for him. That's mm-hmm. my point. You could have done all kinds of things. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is how Rick felt about it. Clearly, he felt that these guys were threatening. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that was an easy choice for him to make. Yeah. If they weren't as threatening as they were, wherever Rick felt they were on that screen, it doesn't matter what I think about it. But they made the choice easy for him.
All right, maybe I'm just trying to dig deeper. Fans, let me know if I am.
No, I get what you're saying.
Tweet at AfterBuzzTV.com.
I get what you're saying, but it doesn't matter what I think, because what matters is how Rick felt about mm-hmm. it. Yeah. I just think that it would have been a harder choice for him if they came across different to Rick. Then it's like, they seem like they're all right guys. Do I let them stay? Do I not?
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out from Rick's perspective what he found so off-putting.
Well, I don't know, but
you know,
but he obviously did.
I mean, because in many ways...
The guy reached under a bar to get a bottle, and Rick clearly thought he was going for a gun.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter what I think about it. Obviously, Rick felt threatened.
I mean, in many ways, I think it was just... I don't know.
I'm just saying,
what I'm wondering now, too, is this going to be, you know, is this going to be a continuation of how he views other people? Again, you know, I think... Because in season one, I think he was much more open to allowing people into the camp. And now, again... Now we're selective all of a sudden?
Well, I think it goes back to Shane. He's like, I'm going to deal with another hothead. Because I looked at Dave that he had a similar vibe to Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Rick was playing off of. That's what I thought Rick was like, geez, do I want
to
deal with
another? I mean, you know what? If I had to explain it in any fashion, I think it's based off of the idea where, where, you know, Dave was naming all the places that they've been to and how there's no hope. Yeah. And he doesn't want another no-hope guy. He needs someone who will, quote, be the Sunshine Committee and bring spirit and joy to these already
so
miserable people.
So you are the guy that wants to give him a hug.
Why not?
Okay.
So, right. I mean, maybe I'm trying. That's the only justification as of right now for me that I give to Rick.
Okay. Now, that being said, that was some badass shooting.
Yeah.
That was.
Come on. That was amazing.
That was poor Tony. Never stood a chance.
Yeah, he didn't. But I mean, that was impressive. I had to back it up and watch it twice. I liked it so much. I go, damn, that was good. I liked it. And then it's like he walks up to Tony and like, finishes his business and leaves.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, and I liked how he kind of looked there, but looked at Glenn and Herschel and was kind of like,
you gotta say anything?
Exactly. Need I say more? It's nice.
Yeah.
So, man, that was good.
And you know what's nice? You know, we talked about Glenn for a little bit, but in this scene specifically, I think obviously Glenn is rising the ranks, so to speak. And he's involved in a lot of these situations where he's learning, quote, manly things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so he now, I mean, he's with the top two men of this whole group,
yeah.
Herschel and Rick.
Right.
So I like that symbolically, uh-huh. how he's rising those ranks.
Yeah, but I like the scene in the car with Rick when he's telling him that what Maggie said, I love you.
Yeah, stop.
Although he's rising the ranks, he doesn't know how to handle any of that. What I didn't say anything.
Just tell her you love her.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be all right.
I think she knows how she feels. Exactly. That was nice. And then of course he confesses. Yeah. By the way, I got the pills for Lori. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I already knew that. Thanks, kid.
All right. Well, I think anything else we want to add to that?
That is all I have.
Okay, then I think we should break for our commercial. Ronnie, if you would, please take us to break.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire, to American Idol, to Vampire Diaries, to Real Housewives, and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
Welcome, guys. So, I'm just going to, you know, I didn't want to compile the news and gossip too early because it's still coming in. So I'm reading it off my iPhone.
Ooh. So up to date.
So up to date. Well, 7 hours ago, there was a limited edition of a signed zombie print on sale. So that was tonight. I don't know if it's still going on, but, you know, they are giving away 400 of these.
Get in line.
And the cost is $110. So check that out. Seth MacFarlane, he has a line of Walking Dead action figures that are out.
I didn't even know they had those.
It kicked off at the 2012 Toy Fair in New York City.
I don't think that's Seth MacFarlane.
No, it says MacFarlane Toys.
Yeah, that's not
Seth MacFarlane.
Not Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. Oops. I took a wild guess. Right, figuring it could have been Seth, but not.
That was a really good scoop that failed to be.
It was a good try.
Good catch, though.
We got I didn't dig nice deep. So we have that. And then there's the big news is that there's a lawsuit against Robert Kirkman.
Whoa.
For the Robert Kirkman being the creator of the comic book. There's a guy named Tony. I won't say his name because this may be false. Uh-huh. And the Hollywood Reporter just says Tony anyway, so I don't know that. Actually, Tony Moore. There you go. I'm giving away his name.
All right. Well, okay. It was already printed in the Hollywood Reporter. So
he's suing. That you know that he's the co-creator and all that, so mm-hmm. you know, again, it could be wrong. I don't know. This is literally just less than a day old, so who knows? I don't want to speculate on that.
Let's do it. What the hell? That's what we do here. We speculate.
All right. Well, you know, how many? I mean, do you think Tony is the co-creator, and that, or this lawsuit is? Justified.
You know, this is actually the first I've heard of it. I have no idea.
I mean, you always kind of it's weird with these comic books. I mean, my only other example is with Andy and Larry Wachowski. There was a lawsuit against them for having created The Matrix and saying they ripped off this this woman, this comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't go full. I mean, I read like I think like 15 pages of what she had written and things like that, and it seemed completely different.
Right.
It didn't seem like The Matrix at all. Mm-hmm. The only reference was like a guy with horn-rimmed glasses. So okay, if obviously in the Matrix sense that was Morpheus and things like that. But later on, because The Matrix was The Matrix, they're like, all right, here's $2 million. That's nothing to us.
Go away.
We'll settle this lawsuit. Fine. Leave us alone. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It might just be like another case of that. They'll just kind of give him money and be like, all right,
yeah, go away.
Yeah. And the other kind of news that I wanted to bring to our attention slash it's a bit of a special segment, but not Robert Kirkman, obviously the creator, he was on Adam Carolla's podcast.
Nice.
So unfortunately he didn't give like a big interview. Mm-hmm. but what he did reveal was actually nice. You know, he does help write the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's more involved than I thought he was.
Ah.
Have you guys had a chance to listen to it?
I have not.
No. Despite me sending you like 5 emails, please listen.
Well,
it's like 3 minutes long of an interview.
It would help if you send a link, because I'm really lazy and I didn't want to find it.
Oh, the youth
today. I'm not
going
to lie.
The youth.
He didn't listen either.
Yeah, but he has a job.
I don't care.
And what was fun, you know, he revealed that they're in the process of writing season 3. And that although, you know, they have the comic books and things like that, they're not necessarily sticking verbatim as we know.
Yeah, they have to.
So it was interesting to see.
It'd be really interesting to find how he feels about the differences in writing the two, because it's a different medium completely.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be.
Well, the thing they joked about was this is because of Adam Carolla and him. Adam Carolla is, for those of you who don't know, he's a comedian. So they joked about how season 3 was going to be about the financial problems of zombies. So.
Yeah, they just can't make the money.
Yeah. They just can't.
No.
So, but that is okay. That is all the AfterBuzz TV news and gossip that I have.
Well, that leads us to predictions.
It does indeed.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, I'm going to say that Dave and Tony's friends are going to be the catalyst to get them off the farm.
How many people do we got? 30? 40? Upwards of 40.
Yeah, it's going to be enough that where they're going to be overrun, and
I think we'll lose people too. We'll lose some of our people.
Do you have POWs?
Herschel's family.
What's that?
Any POWs?
POWs
in this process.
Okay, if we do lose people, who do you think?
Carol.
Because Sophia's gone, so we don't need her anymore.
Yeah, if you think about it, like every one of these characters kind of represents something. Shane represents the badass. Dale, kind of the in between. Rogue soldier,
conscience. Excuse me.
I don't know. Maybe for you guys, she represents something. But at this point, you know, she's for me written off.
Did you at all think that when Shane was with her cleaning off her wounds and everything that there was something going to develop romantically with them later?
No. But you do bring up a good point. Like, you know, he's cleaning her off and cleaning off the wounds.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they did this intentionally, but as he's like rubbing, I mean, I don't think he got off any dirt. I don't know if that's on purpose or I'm sure there has to be a deeper meaning to that. And I think it's the fact that she's expendable at this point.
Whoa. Okay.
Ben?
Yep.
You think Carol?
Or Herschel's family, since we still don't know their names.
Yeah, some of Herschel's family.
I mean, I think the only one realistically that's coming from Herschel's family that could be saved is Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one we have a vested interest in. Right. Herschel's storyline, you know, obviously is big, but, you know.
No, but I think they'll. I don't think Herschel will end up with them, because I think he'll probably do something quote noble to redeem himself, mm-hmm. and then get killed in the process. And that'll help. It'll help Maggie. Whatever he does will help Maggie survive and leave. Mm-hmm. And he'll,
which by the way,
he has nothing left to live for now anyway.
Interesting point that Maggie brought up with Glenn.
Yeah,
speaking of all these people talking and things like that, I love how Maggie was the one who said, like, okay, it seems like no one ever has time to talk. Like, let's talk. And she, you know, she told him, like, if your group leaves, will you stay? And I thought that was a very, very interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know,
and
what?
I think the question's going to be, well, the group isn't staying. Are you coming with us?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert from the comic. If you are interested.
Okay.
Are you interested?
Sure. Can we get a spoiler alert bumper?
Spoiler alert button.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, that's good.
Spoiler
thanks.
Alert.
Got it. Got
spoiler
it.
Alert.
Got it.
We like to be obscene at times. Go ahead, Ben.
When they leave in the book, Glenn does stay behind with Maggie and their family.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't think I'm ready to lose Glenn.
No, I wouldn't want to lose Glenn. I like him.
Are we going to get like a...
Do you guys want another spoiler?
Sure.
Glenn comes back.
Spoiler alert!
There we go. Glenn comes
back. Thank you, Ronnie. He comes back?
Yeah, they
with
come
Maggie?
Back. With Maggie and Herschel.
Ooh, and Herschel. Okay.
Yeah, well, in the comic books, Shane is dead.
Yeah,
so.
Also Shane
yeah,
is
of course, yeah, so.
Long dead, so...
So.
I predict that we'll have... I believe we will have more co-hosts joining us. Which will make it fun, and they've most of the ones I'm talking
are they
with
talkative.
They're talkative, unlike Ben, and unlike Ben, they have well, they've also read the book as well.
And unlike so Ben,
unlike me, they did something that I did.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right.
Well, John, take us out of here.
Okay. Well, Ronnie, thank you very much for all your help in the booth. Ben, say goodbye to everybody. Where can they find you?
Goodbye, everybody. Where can they find you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. Phil, where should people look for you?
Well, just keep following AfterBuzz. I do want to say this was a very nice... there were some moments of love. We didn't get comedy like we wanted to.
No.
But we got some nice moments of love.
We
did. Speaking of love, it's almost Valentine's Day, so I'm glad that kind of came full circle.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this, show us some love to us by spreading the word.
Yes,
I mean, we were on the top five of iTunes... In like a month after we had done the podcast, so obviously you guys are still finding us and telling your friends and listening to us, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, and keep sending us your notes and your feedback, and
we'll try to read them.
Yeah, keep schooling us on what we get wrong and let us know. Appreciate it.
All right,
thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, zombies.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.